which is a good reminder. Parents, try to get in the habit of thanking the children's church workers and the nursery workers. From what little I've heard from time to time, I've talked to some and they said, I've never been thanked, you know, and they work, you know, year after year after year, so many people in there. So please keep that in mind. Thank the nursery workers and children church workers. They would appreciate it. We sang Great Is Thy Faithfulness, just a little tidbit I saw last couple weeks. Great Is Thy Faithfulness was sung on the moon. The first Apollo lunar landing, they were allowed to have songs with them on some sort of tape, and it was Dolly Parton, of all people, sang Great Is Thy Faithfulness on the moon. So pretty cool little tidbit there. But that's not why we're here this morning. Ben, why don't you come on up, please? First met Ben when he was in 10th grade at my former church, Sauk Prairie, and he went off to school soon after that, and I didn't stick around too much longer, but got to know his parents quite well and have just the highest regard for them. Getting to know Ben now in these years and now, and I forgot it's your fourth visit with us, that it was way back. When? So that was when you were with Morocco?
Yep.
The Morocco trip, so their fourth trip here. Forgot about that. But appreciate their faith in stepping out. God said, come to Thailand. And there was like no hesitation whatsoever. And their faithfulness, not just in Thailand, but all throughout their ministry. And also their unique giftedness, the way both of them fit so well into their respective ministry. So we really appreciate being here, Ben. Thanks.
All right, thank you. We were here 2 years ago, so if any of you were here then, maybe you remember us, but we just want to start by kind of introducing our family. So I'm Ben. This is my wife, Jen. So she is a teacher in Thailand, and then our children, Isaiah, Adeline, and Galilee are with us today, and then we're missing our 13-year-old Haley, who is at camp this week. So we live in Chiang Mai, Thailand. We've been there for 4 years. Prior to that, I was pastoring in East Troy, Wisconsin. And then before that, we were in Morocco as missionaries. And so we just want to start by thanking your church. You guys have been really good to us over the years, encouraging us, financially supporting us, and most importantly, praying for us. And so we just really want to say thank you, and we're just feel really blessed and honored to be here today to share a little bit about what God's doing in Thailand. So I'm going to open in prayer, if it's all right. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today, to praise your name, to honor you, to fellowship together. I pray, Lord Jesus, that over the next little bit of time that we all grow in our faith and our trust towards you. In your son's name, amen. So we just want to just spend a little time this morning sharing a little bit of what we do in Thailand as a family, share a little bit about our organizations that we work with. So Jen and I, 6 years ago when we were trying to figure out what God had for us next, we were led to move our family to Thailand. I just had this memory as Rich was talking about me in 10th grade when I was a freshman is actually when I came to know the Lord. I was at a districts. I don't know if you guys still go to districts. So I was at a districts, and they invited anyone who wanted to accept Jesus to come up to the front. So I came up, accepted Jesus, and I was actually walking back to my seat, and they did like a second, like, if you want to serve the Lord with your life, you should come back up front. And I had like a mini freak out. I was like, I thought I just did that. So I was like, oh, I better go back up. So I went up again, just in case. But that's what faith has always meant to me. You know, it's not about where we are, where we live, but it's that we're always, if we've been called by the Lord, it's he's rescued us. We're now part of the journey. And so that's how we end up in Thailand, is we're constantly asking ourselves and the Lord, where do you want us next? And so 6 years ago, we felt called to Thailand, so We went through the process, but for us, we were actually called to two ministries. And so we were called to both Zoe International, which is where I work and I'm going to talk a little bit about, and then Grace International School, which I'm going to invite my wife up right now to kind of talk about. So.
All right, good morning. I am a volunteer kindergarten teacher at Grace International School, so Ben and I have like a two-for-one ministry. And Grace International School, this is our new school, brand new school to us, just finished construction, or finished enough construction for us to move in August. When we get back, I have about 60 boxes or so to unpack, set up my classroom and everything, and then we're going to have a huge celebration because not only is this our forever home, but Grace International School has been in Chiang Mai for 20 years. So we're celebrating our 20 years as a school in our forever home. So it's very exciting for us. But Grace International School is a K-12 international Christian school in Chiang Mai, Thailand. Grace was created to provide a quality education for the children of missionaries, international workers, so that they can stay in their places of ministry and not compromise the education of their children. The non-Thai faculty and staff work at Grace by raising their own support, raising their own salary, and that means that we can keep our costs affordable for the families we serve. So I don't take a salary at Grace. I'm a volunteer teacher there. But Grace serves 554 students in grades K through 12. 90% of those kids come from our missionary kids. Their parents serve in Thailand and in throughout Southeast Asia. We serve 344 families that represent 20 different nations. And those families serve in 24 different countries in Southeast Asia, Europe, and everywhere. And that means that the gospel is going out to millions of people. So Grace is a fabulous place to work and to teach and to know that, you know, you're serving these kids and their families are free to minister and be where God's called them to be. I just finished my fourth year teaching kindergarten there. These are just a few of my students. This past year I had 10 kids in my class, so it was really awesome. This year I have, this coming school year, I'll have 12 kindergartners. But we represented 5 different nations. We have students from Thailand, Korea, America, Australia, and Great Britain. So for us, it's a very unique, interesting learning environment. We learn new things from each other every day. Our 4 kids also have friends from around the world, which is really opened their eyes to many new things. So it's a very interesting place to work. It's very exciting, and yeah, I've enjoyed my time at Grace, and I know that our 4 kids have. So if you get a chance to see them, you can ask Isaiah or Addie or Gallie about how they enjoy school in Thailand. So thanks.
All right. So that's where my wife and our kids spend their time, is at Grace International School. So we live right around the corner from the school. But then I head out every day to Zoe International, which is about an hour away from our home, up the mountain into the jungle. I've always wanted to tape my ride because it's a really interesting ride, except for Zoe keeps where we are safe, so I'm not allowed to, but it's a interesting ride kind of through the mountains. But anyways, so I've worked at Zoe the last 4 years, and what drew us to Zoe is that they have 2 main objectives. And their number one, the core of what we do, is that we're in love with Jesus, and we want to bring the gospel to the world. Everything we do revolves around that. So even when we're doing the other work that we do, the gospel is number one. And so we bring the gospel in many different ways. We're doing outreaches monthly from our staff, our ministry school students, our prevention team, even our rescued children. So actually one of the first experiences I had was I had just started working at Zoe, and I was helping with our youth ministry. So this is youth ministry to our rescued kids out of trafficking. And we were to take the ones who knew the Lord. We actually took them on an outreach to another children's home, and I watched as these kids preach the gospel to other kids who didn't know it yet, and I was just amazed, you know, because that really is right? The heart of the gospel is you learn it, you hear about Jesus, and now you get to take it to somebody else. And so that's number one at Zoe, is preaching the gospel, taking the gospel to the unreached world. But then number two, and what we're well known for, is fighting human trafficking. And so that's in all forms of human trafficking. We rescue out of beggar rings, we rescue out of work labor, and then we rescue out of sex trafficking. So Zoe fights human trafficking at all levels. So we do prevention work where we go out and train people about the dangers of human trafficking, trying to stop the problem before it starts. And then we also do rescue. So we have a team that actually goes and works to remove children from these situations. And then last, we have restoration, which is our home in the mountains where I go to work, where we have a space for these children to be restored, to be who God created them to be. And so that's kind of what Zoe does. I'm going to show you guys a video right now of what... So Zoe doesn't just exist in Thailand. We're in 5 countries. We do a little bit of different work in each country. So this is a short video about what Zoe did in 2018.
You can't take Jesus and our love for God out of Zoe. We wouldn't exist. The gospel has the power to transform. It will not just transform their lives now, but it'll see human trafficking ended all around the world.
Our human trafficking awareness and prevention programs are expanding to multiple different countries and communities that are unaware of the problem of human trafficking.
We've been able to reach thousands of people with the gospel, both here in Thailand and in Japan, reaching people who have never heard the name of Jesus spoken before.
Long hours have been worked for our Los Angeles project. Plans have been submitted, and we're so excited to see the fruit of all the behind-the-scenes work.
This year, the government of Thailand has given Zoe awards for our outstanding work in anti-human trafficking.
Through our Mercy Network ministry, we've been able to partner with local pastors all around Thailand, empowering them to reach their community.
Our grand opening for our new Child Protection Center this past year was amazing.
I would like to offer my heartfelt congratulations and appreciation to Zoe staff, because the work you do is incredibly important.
We have been getting more and more requests from the Thai government to take more children into our Child Rescue Center.
Our Japan team has started ministering and doing prayer walks through the hotspots for human trafficking, strategizing long-term solutions, and starting to fundraise for future Zoe projects.
Our Road to Justice this year was blessed beyond anything we could even have imagined. This year, we're entering an 8-man cycling team into the Race Across America as a fundraising platform and bring awareness to child trafficking globally.
Zoe Mexico has been strategizing with local government and national anti-trafficking leaders, and we're in the process of establishing our Zoe offices located in the city center of Oaxaca.
Zoe Los Angeles was able to help Los Angeles County provide trauma-informed activities and resources throughout the year to over 100 youth survivors.
Zoe is the first nonprofit in Northern Thailand to be officially licensed as a child protection center for human trafficking.
And so for 2019, I mean, we're about to go to a level that we've been praying and believing for, wow, many, many years. The work that we've got here, the foundation that's been built, all we need now is more people to come alongside us to support this work.
So those pictures at the end, that's where I go to work every day, those with the big buildings. That's where I go to work each day and try to play my part and do what God's called us to do. So what I actually do at Zoe, because there's a lot going on in that video, I realize. And so if you have any questions about any of it, or you want to learn extra about anything you saw, please come talk to us afterwards. But we try to just play our part at Zoe. And so what that looks like for Jen and I is that we are the missionary care in Thailand. So we have about 25 to 30 missionaries at one time. And Jen and I are just care for their needs spiritually, physically, and then also their families, how the kids are doing, how their marriage is. And so that just takes extra time at the end of the day, checking in. We do meetings with them, and we just make sure that what they're doing there, the work can be pretty intense. And so it's just making sure that they're processing it well and they're healthy themselves to continue to do the work that they've been called to do. Along with that, I lead a program called the Mentors Program, where we have young Thai staff, usually between the ages of about 20 and 24, that work at Zoe, and their job is to just mentor the rescued children. So an example of that is we have the new facility that they showed there that we just opened about a year and a half. And that's for our newly rescued kids. So one of the jobs of our mentors is when a new kid arrives. So this is a child who's just been rescued. They've gone through the initial processes of being debriefed about their situation. They've worked with the police, and now they're coming to our facility. Our mentors will be the first one to kind of walk them through the steps of living at Zoe. And so they'll take them to, the first thing we do with a child is take them to our Zoe store. It's not really a store, but it's just an open space where they can go pick a backpack, pick a blanket, pick some new clothes. Most of the kids come to us with just the clothes on their back. And so we just open the door and we right away let them know, our mentors lead them through the process of saying, like, you make your choices. Because we want them to know that they are free and that at Zoe no one's going to tell them, you know, what to do. And so our mentors really just walk alongside the kids. They just build a solid relationship so that they can begin to work with them spiritually, but then just be that kind of older, slightly older adult to just for the child to lean on and kind of share with. And so my role in that is I train the mentors on how to kind of come alongside people and care for them. But then I also just have to care for their hearts because they're dealing with a lot of children who are just struggling with interactions and trust. And so sometimes our mentors just need debriefing and care themselves. And so that's kind of the role I play. I also oversee our Mercy Network, which is our partnership with Children's Hunger Fund and then about 73 pastors in Thailand. So we seek out pastors, Thai pastors, who are committed to evangelizing their communities and seeing their communities changed. We pick out pastors that are in the poorest areas and also the areas that have had the most problems with human trafficking. So my role is to find these pastors and then come alongside them. We provide them with food boxes that they can use for evangelism to reach their communities. But then we also offer them other resources if they, you know, want to start a business. We kind of help them get it going so they have more time for ministry. We do pastor retreats throughout the year where we just train them on how to teach the Bible, how to learn more about the Bible. And then we just create a friendship. And then in turn, they're a lot of times our eyes and ears in these communities. So we really want to see these communities reach for the gospel because we know that that's what they need in those communities. Number one, they need the Lord. But number two, that's what will stop human trafficking is the gospel. But these pastors are able to call us. When I first went into this position, I had heard like all these relationships are so important. And within the first week, I had a pastor call me and talk about two kids in his village that no one was caring for. We were able to go remove those kids before anything happened to them, and they're actually living at Zoe today. So those relationships are really important. They'll call us whenever there's a child in danger or they've seen something, and we're able to follow up on those tips. I'm going to show you guys a quick video about a trip we took to visit some of our pastors in one of the regions. So, I'm Ben Wood, one of the missionaries with Zoe, and one of my roles at Zoe is to help manage our mercy networks all throughout Thailand. Years ago, we decided that we wanted to have a mercy network here in Galison, Isan, which is on the other side of the country from Chiang Mai. The reason we did that is because Galison is the least evangelized and also the poorest region in all of Thailand. It also is the number one place where people are brought to Bangkok to be workers in the sex industry. So we are partnered with 13 pastors here in Galison, Isan. Those pastors use the mercy boxes to reach out to their communities to help the widows and orphans here in Galison. We're here this week just encouraging those pastors, checking up on them, and just spending time getting to know their ministries a little better. So I wanted to show that video specifically because I want to talk a little bit about some of the work we do in these regions. So Galveston, where we've gone, there's it's a large region. There's many, many people, and there's 13 churches total. We work with all 13 pastors. Some of these churches are very small. But we started working there years ago just because of how poor it was and then how little gospel there was there. And so we just connect with these pastors. We've seen, you know, amazing results. We've seen the gospel begin to go through the region. We've seen the churches begin to grow. And it's just been exciting to see the communities begin to be changed. But a few years ago when we were there, we actually met a pastor from a different region called Uban. So Galveston is about a 12-hour drive from where we live in Chiang Mai. And then Uban is like another couple hours towards the border. So Uban is on the border of Thailand and Laos. And so we met a pastor from that region, and he just begged us. He said, hey, we need this ministry where we are. We need support. He said, I don't really have support, and there's very, very little going on. So we went and visited Uban for the first time and you know, prayed about joining them there and trying to help the pastors there. And we saw, so that region of Uban is 0.002% Christian. And so there's, you know, very little church. The churches that are there are 5-6 people meeting in a room. There's only a few pastors. And then what we found when we got there is the human trafficking in that region is tremendous. You have so many refugees coming across the border, and then they're instantly in danger. Many of the families, there's no work in that region, so the parents will just leave, and it just leaves the children completely vulnerable. And many of them end up in the sex industry. They go down south and end up in the sex industry. So we really felt called to that area, so we started going there. Well, along as we were going through this process to figure out if we could help that area and work with the pastors there, we also have a ministry school at Zoe. So when Zoe started years ago, our leadership said, we want to train Thai leaders. They said it isn't exactly fit in with what we're doing with rescuing kids, but they said this is something we really feel called to do. So every year we take 20 students. It's a two-year program. The first year they learn the Word of God. They have 4 hours of Bible class every day. And then the second year they learn how to use the Word of God, how to minister, how to take that to the world. And so many of us are teachers in that school. So I teach 3 classes. I teach Old Testament, marriage and family counseling, and then missions. Those are the 3 classes I teach. And so I get to know the students pretty well, because at that time, part of my job was placement afterwards. So whether they would stay at Zoe and have a job, whether they would do an internship, or whether we would find a pastor that they could go help somewhere in the country. And so I always try to get to know the students well. I try to eat lunch with them, hang out with them. And we had this one student, her name was Sa, and she was extremely shy. I had never heard her speak. I assumed she was just not confident in her Thai language. Thai was actually her third language. And so I just never heard her speak. She never answered questions in class. She was really sweet, but I had never heard her speak. And a lot of times when I talk to the kids, they'll either say, yeah, I want to work at Zoe, and then we'll find a position for them. Or they'll say, I want to go back to my home village, you know, and we'll call their pastor and see if their pastor wants them to come back and work with them. So Sa comes to me, and she says, I'm supposed to go to Uban. And I'm like, what? You know, this is like, it's like our family moving to Thailand. Like, it's equal. You know, Uban actually speaks a slightly different dialect than they do where we're from. And again, Thai isn't this girl's first language. The food's a little different. The culture's different. Like, it was a big step. And I'd never looked at her and thought of her as brave. And so I asked her, I said, okay, Sa. I said, well, what makes you think that you should move to Uban? And she quoted these verses that I'm going to read to you guys right now. And so this is Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'm sure many of you know these verses, but I'm going to read them for you again. So Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So she really felt like this was her act of worship. This was her calling, and that as long as she transformed her mind, that she could accomplish this. And so she went. We found a pastor there who said, yeah, send her. We can help. So the pastor actually had been taking in kids who had no one caring for them, real similar to what Zoe does, for a few years. And they had this large home with all these kids, and him and his wife were doing all the work. And so we were able to send Sa to him, and she's been taking care of these kids now for a couple years. And she's been able to learn to function in this other region. And in fact, the last time I visited her, she had said she had just done a children's outreach camp and had led 30 kids to the Lord. And so I was so moved that the last time I visited her, I read the next verses in Romans, and that's what I want to read to you guys today. So this starts in verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So I just read her those verses in encouragement just to say, keep doing what you're doing, keep doing your part. And actually, just side note, we just have sent a second student out to be with her, to partner with her, so she's not alone. So she's doing really well. But that was such an encouragement to me, and to just get in that place of understanding, when it comes to the gospel, we all have a part to play. When it comes to reaching this world, we all have a part to play. And for us at Zoe, it's the same, like in fighting human trafficking, we all have a part to play. I look at our teams that Zoe's assembled. We have prevention teams that go out to school groups and to children's homes, and they do these amazing programs where they sing and they dance and they run carnivals just to let kids know the dangers of human trafficking in a way that the kids can accept and understand. And I think for me, I could never do that. Like, I don't sing, I don't dance. I'm not great at that stuff. We can all discover it someday if you really want to. But they fit that role, right? Like, that's how God made them. I look at our rescue team. So many different people on our rescue team. And we have a guy who has a computer science degree. And week after week, he's finding clues on the internet where kids are, and we're able to rescue those kids. You know, we have guys who have really taken to surveillance, to getting undercover. A few years ago, we had a missionary come over who his role in America was actually as an undercover police officer, and he just slid right into doing that work in Thailand. So I just look at, like, I couldn't do any of that stuff, right? I look at our restoration programs. We have amazing counselors. We have amazing parents. I just talked a little bit about our mentors. Even our cooks and our sports leaders, like, they all serve the purpose that they've been called to. You know, for me, what that looks like for fighting human trafficking is the things I talked about, like I'm called to disciple. I'm called to come alongside people so they can play their role. And as I look at the bigger picture of bringing the gospel to the world, that's kind of our role, is to all discover, where do we fit? Like, what is it here in Viroqua and the surrounding towns? Where do you fit to changing these communities? I often think of it as, it's a weird example, but, you know, if this church all of a sudden started on fire, it won't. I'm sure we have all the precautions. The fire department showed up, and they began to rescue us, pull us out of the building. And they pulled us out, and then they said, all right, suit up, time to go back in. We'd all be like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. But that's exactly what it is when we hear the gospel. We hear the gospel, we fall in love with Jesus, and then he says, all right, suit up, let's go rescue some people. That's all of us. That isn't me, that isn't just Pastor Rich, that's all of us get to play a part. All of us get to do it in our way, whether it's encouraging, whether it's teaching, whether it's hospitality. Like, we all get to join in this amazing mission of reaching the world with the gospel. And so that's kind of my encouragement to you guys today, is to just take time today and consider, what am I supposed to do? What is it unique about me that God wants to use to reach people with the gospel? Because he didn't leave any of us out. There's no subs in this. There's no, you know, wait till we need you situation. All of us have been given special gifts to reach this world with the gospel. So I encourage you again today, step away, think about yourself, and then figure out what God wants you to do, and then do it. For us, it's Thailand. That's where we're at right now. But I encourage for you to just consider what God wants you to do. I'm going to pray, and then I have a little more, but I'm going to pray right now. Lord, I just thank you for this encouragement today. I thank you for your word. I thank you how every time we look at it, you have something new for us, Lord. I just pray for this group of believers today that all of us will take seriously the mission you've called us to and look at the way you've uniquely made us and consider how can we step out and reach our communities with the gospel. So we just thank you and we praise you. Amen. So we were just so blessed to be here today, as I said from the beginning. We just can't say thank you enough. You know, I haven't said it yet, but just the walk yesterday and just how blessed that was and the barbecue last night, for those of you who were able to attend those events, just such a blessing to us, so encouraging to see people who want to join in the fight against human trafficking, and they want to see people reached with the gospel. And so really encouraging. So number one, we just want to say thank you. We just really want to thank you guys. Number two, we're just so blessed to be able to worship with you guys. When we're able to come back and go to different churches and you know, worship and just fellowship, we just love it. And so we want to say thank you for that too. But then number three, we are here to just, you know, ask if you'd consider partnership with us. We always are in need of more people to partner with us in the ministry that we're doing. Number one, and most important to us, is prayer. You know, we do really deep down in us believe that prayer is what will be the fuel that will end human trafficking, and prayer will be the fuel that will get the gospel through the world. We live this out, just so you know, when we tell people to pray, this is a huge part of what we're doing each week, is praying that God will do the work in Thailand that we're called to. So we'd encourage you to join us in prayer. The easiest way to kind of keep with us and join us with that is to sign up for our newsletter. There's a sign up out there at our table. So just stop by, put your email down. You'll get a newsletter once a month kind of telling you what's going on in our lives, and then also sharing about how you can better pray for the ministry in Thailand. Secondly, we do need financial partners. And so if the Lord has led you at all today to consider that, just please stop by our table. We can kind of lead you in how to join us in that. And we'd love to talk you through that. But then also just stop by. We have a lot of cool material you can look at. We have some t-shirts from sale, and we would love to just answer questions, hang out, get to know some of you guys today. So thank you again, and yeah.